Welcome into the Rinkwise podcast. I'm your host, Evan Marinofsky, alongside Patrick Donnelly. Pat, what's up?
Nothing much. We're finally through the season, or we've done a podcast since the end of the season, but
we have. You
know, we're starting to hit the dog days of the season.
Yes. Of the offseason. Yeah. Well, the offseason just started. I hope the dog days haven't hit quite yet. But we did a lot with prep, and we now are wrapping the season up. We did kind of reacting to the championship games. We did some YouTube videos for each of the rounds of the playoffs. And now we're here to kind of look at the best players, because in prep, that's what matters most. Who are the guys and the girls that are standing out the most that when we think of the 2023-24 season, we'll think about. So we're going to do it like this. We're gonna start with honorable mentions and some rookies that we want to mention, and then we'll dive into the 10, and we're going to do boys number 10, girls number 10, boys number 9, girls number 9, and we'll go that way. And before we start, do you have any overarching thoughts on the season for girls prep?
None that I don't think we've covered already.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of all just the same sort of leftover things.
Yeah, so I want to focus on the players because that's what matters most in these things. So we'll start with boys' honorable mentions. So these are some players that I didn't include in the top 10. Again, I want to preface it. There were a lot more than 10 players this year. It was a really good year. There were some great players. There's some really strong prospects from a lot of different levels. But you have to stick with 10. There's a reason these guys are on there. You can debate any of these honorable mentions or people even not on it to be on it. But this is how I saw it. So honorable mentions start with Emerson Marshall of Cushing. Yeah, Emerson Marshall, I mean, a great season, 50 points. I think he's a Division I prospect. Really intrigued to see what he ends up doing with his career. Great player. Again, I think it's telling that he was the best offensive player, at least number-wise, for Cushing. They had a lot of Division I kids, had some NHL prospects. He stood out a lot. So Emerson Marshall's an honorable mention. Pavent Mera and Aaron Van Wee from Holderness. Probably should have included one in the top 10. But I put them as honorable mentions. Both were the leaders in points for Holderness. Again, Holderness, an Elite Eight team, phenomenal team. Aaron Van Wee went from being a Lindenwood commit to a main commit. And Pavent Mera, I believe, is still uncommitted. Really strong prospect, dynamic. Owen Leahy from Lawrence, one of my favorite players to watch. Competes his butt off, a terrific player. Again, Lawrence is offensive leader, phenomenal player. Undersized, but I'm really, again, I mentioned him with kind of Marshall as intriguing guys to watch in the future, what they do. Ryder Shea from St. George's in net. He had a great season at St. George's. The only reason I didn't include him in the top 10 was the two goalies I included. Ryder Shea had an awesome season at St. George's.
Yes.
But St. George's did not have the hardest schedule. I'm not demeaning him with that. It's just the reason he's not in the 10. Mm-hmm. Has every right to be. Again, he's honorable mention, debatably in the top 10 for sure. And then Matt Cataldo from St. Sebastian's, really strong season from him. Not a surprise. Brown commit, led them in scoring. So he's someone else that really good season. Real quick on the rookies. This is a really good year for rookies, I thought. Rivers, obviously Carter Meyer and Finn Sears. Those two were dynamic. They were leaders for Rivers. Meyer ended up leading them in points. I think Sears was third. I should probably check that. But they were both, I mean, I watched them at the 14U level. I remember thinking, oh, they're really good, but it'll be interesting to see like what they're like when, you know, they're up against older kids.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they were completely fine. And they weren't just fine. They were, you know, they were standout star players. Finn Sears was third on that team in points. So those two are obvious. Noah Servillis at Dexter, an 08, really good freshman. I was surprised he did not get an NTDP invite, NTDP camp invite. But not, you know, really dynamic, very creative offensively, put up some good numbers. David Bosco from Belmont Hill, fixture on the top line there. That's a guy I've always really liked, so not a surprise that he's doing well. And Spencer Thornborough, missed some time due to the Olympics, won a gold medal, not a big deal. Really good player, has some good size. So those were kind of the rookies that stood out to me. Jeremy Poirier is another one, Kent defenseman. I think he might be a sophomore, though. But that's the tough thing is, like, freshman defenseman, it's hard because, yeah, he's a sophomore, 08. So he's an 08. That's basically a rookie. It's hard with defense. Like, Miles Brosnan's a freshman at Dexter, but I think he's an 07. He had a great season, too. So good year for rookies. Interesting stuff with the 08s and especially the 09s with Carter Meyer and Finn Sears. So, yeah, that's my honorable mentions in rookies. What about you with girls?
Yeah, so girls, honorable mention, we'll start off with Zoe Rosenberg. Led the NEPSAC in goals, 33, 54 points. And someone we didn't really talk about at all this season because she's at Portsmouth Abbey. And so that's sort of, it's like the strength of schedule and team performance kind of holds her out of the top 10. But you cannot deny the production she had.
100%.
So an awesome season for her. Caroline Averill, who slowish start to the season, then went to the U18 Worlds with the women and won the gold medal. Came back, was a huge like stabilizing force for Andover's forward group. Then I got Jamie Griswold at Nobles, BC commit. She's a senior going out on top. Just on that Nobles decor, you have Olivia Maffeo and Sophia Levering putting up all the points, doing it all every shift, and they're grabbing the headlines. Then you have Jamie Griswold and even Ainsley Gray, who a little more shut down. And Griswold has the size, the reach, physicality, great skater. I don't think she scored a goal this year. So like she's not. Not that the offense isn't there, but Tom Reeser is not putting her out there for her offense.
Exactly.
She was phenomenal against Williston in the title game, complete shutdown defender, and so very well-deserving of the mention. Then I got Nora Curtis at Williston, their top-line center. She's a junior, really big frame, someone you kind of wonder, like someone who is sort of a pure goal scorer, especially in the slot. She's in the bumper slot area on the power play, scores a lot with a one-timer in the slot. Mm-hmm. Someone I'm surprised isn't committed yet, at least from what I can see. Then we got Annie Dingus at Deerfield, had a phenomenal start to the season, kind of tapered off towards the end, but again, I believe top 10 in scoring, over a point per game. And then one more is Ava DeCourcy, I believe a sophomore defender at Tilton, someone we didn't really talk about much at all. But her production, her freshman season, and now was, let me find it here as I struggle to type. She had 24 points.
Well,
your chair.
Yeah,
I'm all thrown off.
Yeah.
24 points, 16 goals as a defender, as a sophomore. And that's coming off 21 points last season as a freshman. And again, like Tilton up there in the Lakes region, maybe not necessarily the strongest schedule, but you can't deny the production and what she's doing as a young player there.
No, you can't. I just want to add one more honorable mention. I mean, I could do this all day. Parker Murch from Berwick.
Yeah.
We don't talk a lot about Berwick. It kind of falls in line with the Portsmouth Abbey that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
60 points in 29 games. Or, excuse me, 61 points in 30 games, including 31 goals. That's impressive as heck. We don't talk about it a ton because, no disrespect, it's just a little bit not as hard of a schedule. But he had a great season. He's an 07 sophomore, so it's going to be really intriguing to see what he ends up doing.
Yeah. I'll throw a couple more goalies in there because I only had one goalie make the top 10 just because I think the skater pool was so deep this year in prep. But, you know, Anya Zubkowska won MVP for the Elite Eight Nobles. The only reason she's not out, she didn't have – obviously, like, Nobles has really strong strength schedules. She's seeing great teams all the time. But you have a lot of goalies ahead of her that are seeing 200-plus more shots than her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was still phenomenal, made every save she needed to make. She was nails in the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
I think she had a 940 save percentage to end the year. Then you got Veronica Hadamoski at Groton. So Tim Leroy is beating the drum. She should have a commitment. 950 save percentage. Vera Lee at New Hampton, small school MVP. And then Alexa Karen at BBN, she was nails in that championship game against Dexter.
Yeah, so those are interesting ones, and I'm gonna add two more goalies.
Yeah, the goalies are tough just because there's so much talent in the skaters.
It is. Ethan Ruminetti at Groton had an awesome year, senior, 934 save percentage, 229 goals against, Groton a playoff spot. Mm. He's definitely someone. And then Connor Towley at Hotchkiss had a really good season, junior 06. He was great at the Floodmar. Hotchkiss had some really bad times this year, but he was never a problem, so he would be another one. Let's dive into the top 10.
Yes.
We can do this all day.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's no disrespect.
Do you want to get into the freshmen first?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Do your rookies.
So I have a couple from Phillips Andover, Maggie Averill and Kimmy DuPlessis. They were a pair together, and it's kind of really interesting. Two freshmen, but Maggie Averill is almost 6 feet tall, and Kimmy DuPlessis is, I think, 5'5". She's very small compared to Maggie Averill. Maybe even smaller. But I think Maggie Averill comes in with all the fanfare, one of the best 08s out there. Great season. She's a real weapon on the power play in the offensive zone. Just a bomb from the point. When you effective with her reach on breakout passes. Kimmy DuPlessis, I thought, shifty skater, smaller, and just made good reads and smart decisions at the offensive blue line for a younger player. Sometimes kids can get a little too aggressive or too passive
as young
players.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought she made some smart plays. You had Mia Daly, ended the season injured, but when Violet Carroll had to play D for Williston, she was riding shotgun on the top line and playing well. She looked like she belonged. I think she finished with 24 points on the season. Off the top of my head, I could be wrong. And then a couple more. At Nobles, Catherine McCool. She's an eighth grader.
That's right. With girls prep, it's like eighth graders.
Yeah. Lower. I believe she's an eighth grader. She scored in the championship game. She was Noble's going into the year was like, where's the offense going to come from? Because they lost some key players. They kind of struggled at times offensively last year. And she stepped right in, I believe, with 22 points, led the way for the younger pack. And then Bella Zapata, another freshman at Westminster. Great start to the season. She was one of their leaders in points and goals. She's a really, really strong skater. Smaller, so quick and shifty, efficient strides. And kind of cooled off towards the end of the season, which is understandable for young players getting used to the schedule and stuff and the strength of the competition, but really strong first season build on.
So good freshman class. Yeah. That's always a good thing. I got one more honorable mention, then I'm done. Then we're going to top 10 okay. And we're not looking back. Casey Mutrin from St. Sebastian's. Yes. I don't have him in my top 10. Could have over 40 points as a number one center on an Elite Eight team is really impressive. He's an 08, probably the best 08 in this area for sure. So I think he had a phenomenal season and a big, big step up for him. Let's dive into the top 10, shall we?
Yes.
Number 10 for the boys. I got Andrew Gibbons from St. Mark's. Andrew Gibbons basically was putting up points more than every game. St. Mark's lost a lot offensively last year with Richard Gallant going to the program, Jimmy Liver. And Andrew Gibbons came in. He was already a really great player last year. I believe he's an Air Force commit. And he was terrific this year. He had 20 goals, 59 points. Every time I saw them, he was always producing. Again, St. Mark's, high seed in the small school, similar to last year. He was a big part of that. That's senior scoring. So senior 05, really great prep career. Had 36 points as a sophomore, 38 as a junior, 59 as a senior. Always could be counted on to score. Again, averaged over 2 points a game this year. So great player and someone that I think, you know, will always be remembered fondly around the prep ranks.
Yeah.
What about you for number 10?
Number 10, I got Allie Martinello, the goaltender at St. Paul's. She's a senior, I believe, committed to Colby. Saw, I think, the fifth most shots of any goalie in the NEPSAC. Wow. 701 on the season, 940 save percentage. By far the most shots, like not even close, the most shots of any Elite Eight goaltender. And she was nails. She's the bedrock back there, especially for St. Paul's team that had its ups and downs and still found a way to make it to the Elite Eight. She was so key for them.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So we are moving on to number 9. For the boys, number 9, I got Brendan Giles of Brunswick. 39 goals, came oh so close to 40. Mm. He did have 68 points, averaged 2 points per game. He actually, so this is the fun, this is always the fun part. You get to see, right, kid has a great senior year at prep. Gets a commitment at the end of it. He's committed to UConn right after the season ends. Big reason why Brunswick ended up being the number 3 seed in the Elite Eight. We haven't talked a ton about Brunswick recently just because they were out early. Mm-hmm. But he had a phenomenal season. Really good goal score. Big jump in production. He only had 27 points. I mean, only 27 and 31 is not a bad junior year. But he progressed a lot. So good to see that. And that's why I got him at number 9. What about you?
I got Cammy Bell. We're doubling up on St. Paul's here. Yale commit. Kind of a... You don't want to say disappointing, but last year she had 28 goals, 41 points. You're like, all right, sky's the limit this year. 25 goals, 32 points. But she, use a cliche here, the straw that stirs the drink for St. Paul's. Anytime she was on the ice there, especially some of the games I saw her play, could do practically whatever she wanted offensively. Elite release, very good offensive instincts. Like sometimes on the rush, you're like, take it to the net. Don't settle for a shot from the perimeter. But that's a lot of young players at this level too. But she's going to be at Yale next season. She was... In the quarterfinals with Noble, she was the biggest reason that St. Paul's was in that game. And it was really just cool to see her go toe-to-toe, not single-handedly, because she had a strong supporting cast, especially on her line, but the offense went with her.
Yeah, it did, and it's good to see St. Paul's get 9-10 on this list. For the boys, by the way, when I say moving along, did you see the video I posted? I think it was the draft episode. The great guys over at Moody Street TV who put our show together, they sent me a reel because I kept saying moving right along to each one. Moving right along to 8, moving right along to 7, 6. So now I'm like, I can't say moving along. So no more moving along. Head. It is. It's a, it's an earworm. Number 8, Blake McMiniman. Goalie from Kimball Union. Someone that wasn't really on our radar at the beginning of the year, coming out of the Islanders organization, junior 07, small, 5'8", didn't expect him to do what he did this year. And then he ends up winning the starting job, plays the majority of the minutes for Kimball Union, and gets them the number one spot, or number two spot in the Elite Eight, and then they win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he was nails in that run to to the Elite Eight and to winning it. He was great in the final against Cushing. Again, went against Billick and won. We'll talk about him in a second. And but 49 saves against St. George's in that first game. Aside from like a 2-minute stretch where Salisbury scored 3 goals in that semifinal game, he was, you know, perfect. You know, finishes the year with a 2.49 goals against, 912 save percentage. I know that the Lakes region is tough to judge because there were a lot of meh teams in that, but still, he was good in big games, really calm, an interesting prospect because he is small, but he is very good. Mm-hmm. He good angles on shooters. I'm very interested to see kind of what that Elite Eight performance did for his stock, given that there were a ton of colleges in attendance. So he's someone to watch next year, but he comes in at number 8 on my list. What about you?
I got Sarah Powers, sophomore at Andover. She's a forward. Career season this year, 24 points, 15 goals in 25 games.
Wow.
Yeah, stepped up from 16 points last season, 9 goals. And I saw a lot of Phillips Andover down the stretch just because the way the schedule fell and driving, and they were the most convenient, especially yep. like, but you know, every time I saw Phillips Andover, Powers found a way to make an impact. Maybe not the same type of high-flying, eye-catching skill that a Caroline Averill might have, but just one of those players that feels like a big-game player, is going to make an impact no matter what. Like, everybody, you know, some people roll their eyes when you talk about a kid's hustle, but second to none from skaters I saw this season. Had a big game in the Elite Eight quarterfinals. She and linemate Peyton Kennedy, who also had a career high this season, led Andover in scoring. Just one of those players that is sort of a heart and soul player, and it's good to see her get rewarded on the score sheet this year.
Good to see for sure. Not moving right along to number 7, I have Marco Billick of Cushing. Senior goalie, 06, first year in prep, was tied for the lead in the region with Anthony Palmer of Avon Old Farms with a 939 save percentage. His goals against average ranked 2nd at 145. He was outstanding. Arizona State commit. I know he lost the championship game. He didn't lose it for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was part of Cushing who lost. I'm not putting this on him. Phenomenal goalie. In terms of just intangibles, in terms of skill, 6'3", 180. A lot of NHL teams are looking at him. He just looks the part. Yeah. Like, I'm not a goalie expert, but I mean, my God, that kid is good. And I would say of all the goal in the last 2 years of watching goalies at this age group, not just 06s, but of this crop, I would say him and Thatcher Bernstein are probably the two most technically sound, looks the best, like just square to shooters, always in the right position. To me, like, he's someone that I think is going to be something. I think the same thing about Ryder Shea, by the way. The thing about Billick that people could kind of hold him against him this year, and this is something I want to dive into deeper, is you play behind Cushing.
It's like the Anya Zukowska thing where it's exactly clearly a great goalie, but everyone's like, but you know, you get the lighter workload.
That's exactly it. And so I think it's an interesting thing with him of, you know, would it be better if he was on a worse team? But he still had a great year. Obviously played behind a great defense and you know, all that. But still, from the fundamental standpoint, it doesn't get better than him. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, him and Bernstein in the last 2 years to me have been the two goalies that have really looked like, all right, that's, you know, they've got everything. Not a goalie expert, wasn't a goalie, but yeah. I still, from the outside, think that. What about you at number 7?
I got Violet Carroll at Williston. She's a junior. One of the more interesting players in girls prep this year, because last year she was a big part of that top line with Monique Lyons, Nora Curtis, and it was Violet Carroll. And then this year, Williston's dealing with a lot of injuries on defense. She's playing defense for most of the season after she played D as a freshman a little bit. In 32 points last year, 19 goals. This year almost matches the point total on D. 29 points, 8 goals. And when I saw Williston at the beginning of the season, especially at the Harrington, she's playing D. I'm like, wait a minute. And like, but she didn't look out of place at all. Really good reads offensively. Obviously, the forward instincts, can really shoot the puck. And then like kind of just good aggressive stick positioning. Not overly aggressive, but knows when to step up and kind of get in the lanes and that sort of thing. But then at the end of the season, switched to forward because Williston had injuries up front. Mia Daly went out of the lineup and they got like Caroline Alfiero back and Violet Carroll was playing forward again. And the top line didn't miss a beat at all. And she's one of those players, you know, when she's on the ice, she's very vocal, banging her stick for the puck. She wants the puck and she delivers when she has it.
Those are the players that actually go on to do real things and show that versatility. There's actually a kid at Salisbury, Ty Creech. He's 6'4", used to be a forward. Mm-hmm. He went back to D because they had a bunch of injuries. Then I think they put him back at forward and he was like, kind of like defense a little bit better. So it's interesting to see with Violet. Number six, we're almost in the top five. Sean Gibbons, forward at Brunswick Senior. He is a West Point commit. I always mix up like West Point Air Force, but West Point commit. It's interesting. A little undersized, incredible skill, great skater, really crafty, high offensive IQ. And when you watched Brunswick, he was the straw that stirred the drink for them.
Yes.
And 24 goals, 44 assists, 68 points, averaged 2.06 points per game, which is very impressive. Again, I'd say maybe the biggest reason why Brunswick was the number three seed in the Elite Eight. When I watched him, he always made a difference, and he just made things happen for them. So to me, Gibbons, it's worth it to have two players from Brunswick in the top 10. I think Gibbons was their best player this year, and that's why I got him at number six.
Yeah, at number six, I got Callie Brown from Nobles, junior center, top line center, had a massive breakout season this year. More than doubled up her totals from sophomore year to now, 7 goals to 18, 17 points to 36. Not the flashiest skill, but a player that just gets it done, and someone that, you know, Tom Reeser surprised doesn't have a D1 commitment. She has some D3 offers, but that's a little later process, but someone who should absolutely, after this season, be in the D1 mix. Good two-way, 200-foot center. Great on the forecheck, as we know all that's Noble's identity. And it doesn't really matter. Like I mentioned, not the flashiest, but always getting the grade A looks. Doesn't matter how, but she's always great at creating chances, always in the right spot, scored a lot of goals around the net, second chance opportunities, just kind of not sort of hustle plays. I don't think that's the right word, but you know, just finding ways to be impactful every shift in both ends of the ice.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
And now let's get into the top five. We're not going to move into the top. We're going to go into the top five. For me, number five, I got Caden Harrington, a senior defenseman from Holderness, an NHL prospect, someone that, you know, teams were watching all year, really raised his stock. He's out in Green Bay with the Gamblers in the USHL right now, playing really well. Good size, lot of offensive creativity, 7 goals, 42 assists. So that's 49 points in 29 games. That's almost 1.7 points per game, which is pretty crazy. He was terrific this year and someone that took a big step. He's a Vermont commit. He's from Vermont, so he's always wanted to play for Vermont. Seems like he's going to be a really good recruit for them. So I've got him at number five. Again, just a great defenseman and just so good offensively for them. Holderness ended up being, I think it was the number five seed in the Elite Eight. It's been a while now. They were the five seed in the Elite Eight. He was a really big reason why. Reliable back on D, and he's going to be interesting to follow in the next couple of years.
Yeah, five, I got Tina Scalise at Groton. One of the more, I guess, you don't want to say under the radar, but one of the more like kind of, under the radar.
It's under the radar. Groton.
Groton's
yeah.
been on the upswing, but she's a sophomore, started as an eighth grader. All three seasons has led her team in scoring. This year, career highs, 25 goals, 51 points, almost 2 points a game. Really just skilled player with really strong offensive instincts and smaller, but wins matchups, even against bigger defenders. Is slippery with her skating, doesn't back down from the corners. Just a player that really, you know, the sky is the limit, and someone who, when June 15th rolls around, should be getting a lot of phone calls.
She should. And that was someone we had on our radar, or you had on your radar early in the season, like right after getting hired. That was one of the first names you heard.
Well, so I'm talking to Tim Leroy before the season, you know, doing the Groton season preview. And when you hear someone throw out the term like a program changer, and you're like, oh, eyebrows go up, and she's delivered.
Yes, and he was honest about that, which is always good. It was good when coaches are realistic about their players, and he clearly is with her. Number four for the boys, I have Andrew O'Sullivan, junior defenseman from Kimball Union. He had a Colgate commit midseason. He ended up leading the region in points, 55 in 34 games, 8 goals, 47 assists. One of the most dynamic players I saw at this level this year. Just a great skater. When he wanted to take the puck, he could take it. Just could fly. Very offensively gifted. Defensively, he made strides this year. I just think the offensive impact was so great for Kimball Union and what they were able to do. He was always an impact player. He missed a little bit of time throughout the season. Still made a huge impact points-wise. He was someone, again, like, he is a really good offensive defenseman. A guy that can run a power play and do all that. So I have Andrew O'Sullivan at number four.
At number four, I got Sophia Levering at Nobles, senior defender, committed to Yale. just one of those do-it-all type of defenders. Again, sort of like Callie Brown, a massive jump with her production this season. Goes from 4 goals to 15 goals, 18 points to 38 points in 31 games. But when you watch her game, it's not all offense. She's mm-hmm. a terrific shutdown defender in her own end. And a lot of that has to do with her skating. Really powerful, really fast, can close gaps quickly, and single-handedly leads the rush, can quarterback the offensive blue line. And, you know, we talked in the last pod about the goal she scored to put Nobles up 2-0 in the championship. Mm-hmm. Just type of hero play that, you know, lives forever.
That's what a big-time player makes.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of big-time players, top three. Now we're in it. Number three, he wasn't one of the top point getters. I mean, I think he's like top 20. So, I mean, it's still big. Mm-hmm. But Gio DeJulian from Kent. We talked a lot about him after the large school championship game. 25 goals, 49 points in 26 games. He had a phenomenal year. Big jump. In the fall, he was someone that NHL teams were looking at him at Central Scouting and this and that. As the season went on, he just kind of got better, a lot better. And it just culminated in that really good run and that great large school championship performance. He's turned into someone that I would say is not just, well, maybe he gets picked. Feels like he's going to be an NHL draft guy. Mm-hmm. Just plays with a lot of power. Six feet, 160 pounds. He's an 05. Just produces. Just can get things done. Kind of a driver for Kent. They have a tough schedule, so I factor that in. He, you know, has good, some definitely some really good players around him, but he drives that team offensively. And Dale Reinhart said to me after the game, like, he is the best player in the NEPSAC, and I almost agree with him. It's close, it's debatable, but I, you know, he has a point. So to me, DeJulian would be number three.
I got Morgan McGathy from Thayer at number three, Harvard commit. She's a junior, you know, tied her career high in points this year with 42, set a career high in goals with 29. ISL MVP, brought Thayer to their first tournament in a few years. I'm blanking on the exact year, in the large school tournament. Just like we've said a couple times already, the straw that stirs the drink. Thayer went with her from when I start the job, and like, Morgan McGathy is a lot of hype. We do the story on her. And then the first time
you're like, please be good.
The first time I see her, it's like a scrimmage in Milton, because I came to the office, oh, Milton's right in the backyard, might as well go. And instantly, best player on the ice. You can tell right away. D1 prospect, one of the best prospects in the area. She's a powerful, powerful player. And I've said this before, but sort of like a Jesse Comfort type, where just a powerful player that does it all, kind of all three zones, can hammer the puck. Yeah, just sky's the limit for her.
Yeah, that's, again, just high-end, like high-end of the high-end prospects.
Yes.
From this area. That's the best way to put it. Number two for the boys, I have Sam LeDru from Kimball Union, senior, 05, St. Lawrence commit. Exploded this year, sort of like Evgeny Malkin to Jack Sadowski to Sidney Crosby, if that makes any sense, even though they're on the same line. We'll get to Sadowski in a second. I think it's kind of obvious who's going to be number one. Mm-hmm. But LeDru, 38 goals, 75 points in 35 games, a force. He is up there with like Landon Resendez from Cushing as the best players this level I've seen at driving play, mm-hmm. at just pushing the pace. So crafty offensively, good skater, really creative, just someone that I wouldn't be shocked if NHL teams are looking at him. Like, I know they are. Just, I don't know if he gets drafted, just given I don't think he was ever on Central Scouting's list, but so good, so effective on the right wing, good right shot, good shot, just such a high offensive IQ. Mm-hmm. And again, like 75 points is crazy. That would have been the most last year by like 20, I think. But again, you know, wasn't the top point getter on his team, but he's an Elite Eight champ and a phenomenal player. So I got Sam LeDru at number two.
Yeah, I got Olivia Maffeo out of Nobles. Three for Nobles here in the top six. Senior defender going to BC next year. Led Nobles in scoring as a forward last year, but not defender by trade. Set career highs everywhere, 19 goals, 50 points. I think should have probably won Elite Eight MVP. Not that Anya Subkowska wasn't deserving, mm-hmm. but...
It's like James White should have won MVP of that Super Bowl 51.
Yeah. Or Ryan Allen against the Rams.
That's right, yes.
Field position, baby. But you got Patrick in the quarterfinals against St. Paul's. She set up Callie Brown's goal in the semifinals, end-to-end rush on the power play. Brown has the rebound there for her. And then in the Elite Eight Championship, put the game away with another end-to-end rush, beats a defender one-on-one, chips it over Olivia Farabee's shoulder, and just drives play every time she's on the ice. And again, offense grabs the headlines, can do it defensively, retrieves pucks well. When she's not leading the rush with her legs, it's a good first pass on the breakout. Like the instincts and the IQ are really what kind of set her apart, and like knowing when to sort of, I guess, pick up the pace with her skating and like really fly, but also slow the game down, let it come to her. And pretty deceptive, especially in one-on-one.
It's not surprising that she's number two.
Yeah.
And speaking of no surprises, I don't think anyone's shocked. Number one is Jack Sadowski. It was the season of him, 41 goals, 87 points, 37 games, Elite Eight champ, had technically three goals. You know, if they're at Harvard, they should be doing video review for that. Mm. Not really, but phenomenal Elite Eight game, phenomenal run. Showed up in the big games. We talk about the Lakes region all the time. Like, oh, they're just getting fat off scoring like 5 points against one of the lower end teams. No, him and LeDrew both were phenomenal. I remember talking to Tim Whitehead for Kimball Union's magazine store, and he was like, I cannot stress to you enough, like, those two were just always showing up in the big games. And Sadowski was that to a T, just a natural point producer. Just knows where to be. Great, very underrated shot. It's going to be interesting with the draft because, again, there were people be like, oh, skating. Oh, this, he doesn't have, he's not as big. And it's like, but he produces. And yeah, it's like NHL scouts always want to have picks that they can defend, right? Always 6'4". Always look at the skill. So if it doesn't work out, it's not like, oh, what's that scout watching? So that was going to be interesting because is there going to be a GM? I wrote this last week. Is there going to be a GM that sits there in the sixth or seventh round and says, why aren't we taking the kid who has 87 points in 37 games in prep? So I think that's going to be interesting. I could totally see him, if he does go undrafted through the next 3 years, I could see him being a really intriguing college free agent at UNH down the line because he just knows how to produce. And he had a phenomenal season. I can't say it enough. And you know, him and LeDrew at the top there. And Kimball Union takes three of the top four spots. But again, they're the Elite Eight champs. Like, that's what happens. So what about you? Who's number one?
Number one, Monique Lyons at Williston. The leader in points, 59 points in 26 games. Career highs everywhere. 30 goals, 29 assists. A lot of the fanfare going into the season, especially with her line last year being the big producers and Williston repeating. And if Williston did it again this year, it would have been, she was probably the biggest reason. She had 5 points in the quarterfinals, I believe. I think she had at least four again in the semifinals. I'm blanking. But over a point per game of the tournament, over a point per game of the regular season, she's everywhere on the ice. You know, I mentioned a couple pods ago when you, like, Andover coughed the puck up to her coming off the bench in the semifinals. And as soon as you see, oh, that's Monique Lyons skating in on that puck, like, oh boy, that's not the person
there
to
it
do
is.
That to.
She, there it is.
Sure enough, she goes in, scores on a breakaway, beautiful goal. Yeah, just, again, impactful every shift, setting up her teammates, finishing her own chances. Just someone, anytime she has the puck, you're like, oh crap, like, what's going to happen? And she delivered.
Heck of a season.
Yeah.
That's top 10.
And there are plenty more players we could have mentioned, too.
That's the thing, and that's the tough part with this, is like limiting it to 10 and even limiting the honorable mentions. I mean, we could sit here and name so many players honorable mentions. Doesn't mean you had a bad season. It's just that's
no, the, it means we just don't like your
team. Exactly. We hate them so much. But it was a great season. A lot of the kids I picked were seniors, but it's interesting with the girls you were picking.
A good mix.
It's a good mix. There's a lot of good young prospects. There's a lot of good young prospects on the boys' side, too. Before we go, as always, we can't forget Overtime with our great producer, David Yaz.
Overtime.
Yes, welcome back to Overtime, where I lob three questions the way of both Evan and Pat. And today, gentlemen, we're going to talk about the unwritten rules of hockey. So those are the rules that are not, in fact, written down, hence making them unwritten rules. And the debate looms, are they rules or not? So you can weigh in on each one of these. And Pat, we're going to let you go first. Number one, unwritten rule of hockey. I'd never heard this one, but it's on the internet, so it must be true. Don't touch the conference trophy. In other words, if you win the conference, you don't. So you know this one.
Yeah.
So tell our listeners, why don't you want to touch the conference trophy?
Falls right on line with don't touch the Stanley Cup. You haven't earned the right to touch it, because I have a picture with the cup. Never went near it for a second. Still holding out hope. But there's the conference trophy. It's like a superstition more than anything. Like, we had a couple teams. I think Washington did it when they won the cup. Like, Ovi went up, grabbed it. Like, we're touching this thing. But, like, the Bruins never touched it. I think Sidney Crosby maybe touched it with the Penguins. And they
well, isn't the thing that if you touch the conference trophy, you're like...
You're kind of cursed.
Like, this is the best we're going
to
do.
So, yeah, like, yeah, there are bigger things to play for. And right. You don't want to curse yourself or superstition. It's more of a superstition than anything. I like it. Bigger things to play for.
Right. It's why, as a fan, you ever see somebody wearing New England Patriots AFC East Championship t-shirt? It's like, why? Evan, any thoughts on that?
I agree with the idea of not touching it. I think what's interesting, though, it's like playoff beards. If both teams don't touch the trophy or both teams don't or do playoff beards, do they cancel out? Yeah. How does that work, right? Maybe you could go against, be like, we're lifting this thing. We're going to take pictures with it. But I agree. I wouldn't touch it, no.
Okay. Can't touch this.
Yeah.
Evan, you can go first on this one. Don't cross the red line during warm-ups, unwritten rule. Is this actually, in fact, an unwritten rule? Is it followed?
A lot of kids, I would always kind of put, like, when I'd do my laps, I would skate over the red line just with, like, 1 foot. But, I mean, you don't go, like, fully over to the other team's side. That is an unwritten rule. You don't do that. But, I mean, there's sometimes, like, in playoff series, they'll shoot the puck into the other net, like, or you'll have some kind of jibber-jabber between the teams. But jibber-jabber is, like, it's like a 100-year-old term. So the jib-jab. But, no, I subscribe to that rule, yeah.
That's probably a Joe Biden phrase right up there with malarkey.
Malarkey.
I don't want to hear any of your malarkey. Pat. Your thoughts on this unwritten rule?
I would subscribe to it, especially having someone trying to stir the pot and like warm-ups and stuff. Worry about yourself. But I do kind of like it. Like, if you have a puck you're trying to save from going the other side, that was always a big thing in youth hockey, because like sometimes you like wouldn't have enough pucks for warm-ups. Like, no, we got to get this puck. And then someone from the other team like takes it right before you get there. Like, damn.
Yeah, that's my puck.
Yeah. Well, occasionally, like, if you go like a step over, it's fine.
Well, occasionally teams who want to incite the slapshot style pregame brawl will violate the rule on purpose, right? Yeah, so that happens every now and then.
What I've never understood, and prep does this all the time, they will, like, when teams come out for the second period, they will skate around their zone in the first while the opposing team's goalie goes in that net. So, like, the opposing goalie will be there with the other team skating around them. I would think you would just go skate around your goalie, because that's going to be your side for the period. I don't understand that. I've never thought that.
The mystery looms. All right, final unwritten rule of hockey. Keep empty net goal celebrations low-key.
Ooh, this is topical.
Is it? Tell me why.
Ridley Greig on Greig? He's an eye in there. Ridley Greig on the Ottawa Senators taking a slap shot in an empty net. And Morgan Riley on the Leafs came up and just full force cross-checked him in the chin. Riley got like 5 games. Everyone in Toronto was like, what? He deserved it. It's like, don't cross-check a guy. Like, no matter what you think of what he did.
Right. That's the all Samuelson solution to all problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? I did see that clip. And not being the hugest hockey guy, I was kind of wondering what all the fuss was. So what did you think of that, Pat?
So I don't hate it, because it's like with the Maple Leafs, it's like, I don't know, just don't be losing and don't have to pull your goalie. But at the same time, like, I can understand it if it's like Game 7 of a playoff series, it's super emotional, you just bury the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm going to take a slap shot and get the crowd fired up. But it's January and you're the Ottawa Senators, right? You have nothing to play for.
That too.
It's like, what are we doing here?
Just a little bit of the equivalent of Terrell Owens spiking the ball on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think context logo would matter for it. Like, like celebration or how the matter you score on the empty net. Like, if it's a huge moment, sure. But it's a Thursday. What was it? Thursday night?
right.
Ottawa.
Yeah. On January, whatever. Relax.
I agree. It's funny. So I gave up TikTok for Lent. So I thought, oh my God,
what sacrifice, Evan?
I thought,
gonna go watch Instagram reels.
Well, this is my point. This is my thing. So now, like, I thought, my God, I'm gonna change my whole life. I'm gonna be off social media. No, I just watch more YouTube and Instagram reels. But the Instagram reels thing was interesting. This morning, I was watching a clip of this guy in a men's league go in and like score an empty net goal, and then he did this whole celly in front of the other team's bench, and this other guy just comes and just sucker punches.
Yeah, I saw that.
The bench. I mean, if you're gonna score an empty netter, just put it in. I agree with you. If it's Game 7 or whatever and you want to kind of like sell it up, go for it.
Or if you sell it up, just be prepared for the
Yeah, be ready for it.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like, Morgan Riley, what are you doing?
Yeah. That end of it.
And the people who are trying to defend him, well, Greig shouldn't have done that. He should have been ready. Who's ready for someone to come and just full force cross-check them in the teeth?
Yeah, excessive.
Like, you can expect a guy come up and, like, shove you against the board and stuff, but full on, like, trying to decapitate the dude, I don't know.
Well, the other thing is, like, if you're the Maple Leafs, just you're playing them again. Just use this motivation to kill them the next time you play them.
Yeah, or it's, like, also at the same time, like, just play better and don't have to pull your goalie.
Exactly. There's also that.
Yeah. I'll never forget the sort of the football version of this. When my brother was a senior at Sharon High, they had a terrible team, but they A for effort, and they were Thanksgiving Day game against Oliver Ames. They were getting blown out, and wide receiver on Oliver Ames catches a ball to put them up by like 49 points or something. And as he's the defensive back is still giving token chase, the player with the ball turns around and holds the ball like kind of right in the face of the defender, like classless, taunting. They're up by 40 points. What are you doing? Runs into the end zone. The defensive back continues following him and just plows him out of the back of the end zone.
That's awesome.
It's like, if you're going to taunt, just get ready to get nailed.
It's kind of like the blind side when he pushes him off the field. It's time for him to go home.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Or you get like the idiot college kids pimping a touchdown. They drop the ball before it's in the end zone.
Oh, that's
what you, that's like, you deserve that.
God, yeah.
Oh, you deserve whatever comes to you for that.
Yeah. That concludes the three questions I had, but do you guys, are there any other unwritten rules of hockey, like big ones that we haven't mentioned?
Sort of what I mentioned, the not touching the Stanley Cup. Do you think you would ever get like to a point in your life where like, all right, I'll touch it?
I touched it when I was like 12.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Have I told that story?
Well, I never saw it till I was like.
So you're saying real hockey players, if they're at some event where that's the.
Well, I think it's more of like if you're a pro and like you might have a chance to make the NHL. It's
right.
Like, don't touch it, but you have a chance. Right. But like, I don't know. I saw it. It was like 2019. I was a freshman in college and like. I was on my way to a Bruins playoff game. They had it like cask and flag, and I was like, "Let's go!"
That's before we hilarious. Go on the train. That hit the cask.
Yeah, of course. And so like we're there, and I'm like, "Well, first of all, like I don't want to jinx the Bruins," and like I had still played a little bit of competitive hockey. I was like, "Oh, maybe I still have some NCAA eligibility."
Well, no, I like that even if you are just a fan, I suppose it's like you're the ultimate fan. You're in solidarity with your team.
Yeah.
And what's cooler than being at a place where the Stanley Cup is and touching it? Being at a place the Stanley Cup is and not touching it.
Yeah.
You and can
like,
take pride in that.
The Bruins, it was like the start of a promising playoff run. It turned out to be pretty promising until the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I don't want to mess anything up.
I think it was it Greg Carville from UMass? I could be wrong, but he tweeted a picture of him and his son like touching the cup, and he was like, I don't care anymore. I'm fine with that. I think it was him. We had a funny story. I don't know if I ever told it on this show. I'll make it quick. When I was, I don't know, I was probably like in seventh grade. Somehow one of the dads on our team knew the keeper of the cup. And this was right after the Bruins won. So he was in the area.
Oh, that's fine.
And he said to the guy, hey, do you want? Can you come by and just let the kids on my son's team, who's on my team, touch the cup. Just take a picture with it. So the guy's like, sure. And it turned out that guy, the father of my team, told everybody and made it a whole event. So when the keeper of the cup showed up, there was a line like down the street, around the building. And so I think he ended up staying there the whole time. Everybody got pictures with it, but we got it on the ice, which was no one else got that. We got it on the ice. We got to cut the whole line to like take it with off the ice too. I touched the cup. Really cool moment. It was the Christmas card that year, obviously. Yeah.
Nice.
So I was like, you know what? I don't care.
That's like the ultimate like house party that snowballs. Way too many people invited. It's a total crap show.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Well, I love how there are tales sometimes spoken in hushed tones about the cup being in suites in Las Vegas and God knows what's happening to them and what people are touching them. All kinds of debauchery that will
The Rangers did to it in 94, they had to start doing white glove care.
Well, that was the point I was going to think it's funny that they like it's been debased and then you got these two dudes with the white gloves coming out like it's so precious, but
yeah,
but it is by far the best trophy in sports. I don't think there's any question.
No, oh my god,
yeah. And no. what is even second? I guess that in a way there isn't one in the major sports, right? Because there's not.
They make a new one every year.
Right.
Like the Lombardi, the Larry O'Brien, and the World Series.
Yeah, the
trophy.
Stanley Cup is one thing.
Like, if the Lombardi trophy was one trophy, like, that'd be pretty cool, but they make a new one every year. I would say.
I don't even know this. Do they get a permanent, like, version of the cup to just or some trophy or something to display the team?
I don't know.
The Bruins have kind of 1.5 scale replicas in Warrior by the locker room.
Yeah, that's, like, not the real cup, obviously.
Yeah, no.
Well, no, obviously.
And there's, like, there's like pieces in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and there's like, I think there's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a version of the cup that's usually on display in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't know. I could be wrong. But, like, as far as other sports that would be as cool, I would, like, look in golf with, like, the U.S. Open trophy or the claret jug or... because those are the same.
Yeah, the you get your name engraved on those.
Of the four major sports, I'd say Lombardi, just because you call it the Lombardi Trophy. Like, whereas in baseball, it's just the World Series. Basketball, I mean, I know it's Larry O'Brien, but like the
Lombardi. Nobody knows it as Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, trophy. The Lombardi Trophy. So I would put that as number
it two. It is kind of cool looking. It kind of looks like a little bit like the Washington Monument. And the baseball one is awkward with those flags flying off of it.
I was worried about it getting broken.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right?
It looks like just those things would fall off.
But nothing comes within 100 miles of the cup.
No.
So. Right.
Well, I have to agree with you, Puckheads. Well done. You've successfully negotiated another episode of Overtime, and back to you, Evan.
Yes, thank you. And that's this episode of Rinkwise. Those are the best prep players of the season. That's Patrick Donnelly. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Rinkwise listeners, have a great rest of your week.